Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Somebody else who some people might find surprising, who I am starting to believe is a bad opportunist, and that is Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. And people are, what? Rod? You know, he was once the darling of the Republican Party. Look, that's what a bad opportunist does. They make you think and see, just like Obama did, they make you think and see that they are a sort of messiah, what you've been always been looking for. That's how they get what they want. That's how a bad opportunist works. Now, another word or another name for a bad opportunist is con man. Or in Hillary's case, con woman. Yeah, I'm not going to say con person. No, that's going back to like, you know, when women were becoming firemen and policemen. You know, I'm a police person and a fire person. No, you're a firewoman and a policewoman. I mean, there was even a TV show called Police Woman. Remember that? What was the name? Angie Dickinson played, what was it? Pepper something. Pepper was her name. 70s, Police Woman. They didn't say police. The title of the program wasn't Police Person. See, this all this political correctness? That's also bad opportunist stuff. But here we have Chris Christie, who is, you know, who's been floating the idea of running for president ever since he, you know, blasted onto the scene in New Jersey when he won his first term as New Jersey governor. And looking back, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, and you start paying attention to what the man is saying today, and you wonder, wait a minute, this doesn't jive with being a conservative. And everybody keeps saying, oh, yeah, Christie's a conservative and, you know, a conservative in New Jersey. No, he's kind of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe he did start out as a true conservative, but he's morphed into this rhino type of thing, and that is nothing more than a bad opportunist. Now, Schwarzenegger, on the other hand, he wasn't a bad opportunist. No. I think what Schwarzenegger finally did, he just got fed up and tired and gave up trying to deal with those wacko leftists out in California. He said, you know what? I just need to save a little bit of face so I can go back and make more movies, do what I really want. He wasn't a bad opportunist, because if he was a bad opportunist, he would have stayed there and tried to run for governor again. Now, he said, the hell with this. I'm just going to go make more movies. But this is, Chris Christie isn't doing that. He's like, hey, you know, people think I can be president. I'm going to try to improve my cred, if you will, and see if I can actually make a run for this and be, you know, the next, you know, Herbert Hoover, you know, because let's face it, Chris Christie is not a skinny guy. But that is not the reason why I think he's a bad opportunist. But let me tell you why I think he is a bad opportunist, or possibly being shaken out as one. But first, let me say hello, my fellow Americans, and all of my fellow liberty lovers across the globe. It is I, of course, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. We try to keep out bad opportunists, but we don't always do so. It is Tuesday, May the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2015. If you wish to join me live and weigh in on what I've been talking about, my number here is toll free 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. Chris Christie on the NSA Now he says, now you can't enjoy your civil liberties if you're in a coffin. Well, you can't enjoy your civil liberties if you don't have any, Mr. Christie. See, I know a lot of people, there are some people who like the Patriot Act. And I got to tell you, from day one, I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that they were creating this grand, huge new bureaucracy, excuse me, called Homeland Security. Now, granted, most of the departments and agencies that now fall under Homeland Security needed to be put together. I do agree with that. We did not need a brand new and total agency or department to do that. And not only did George Bush create Homeland Security, he created it and used a very negative type of term or word, homeland. Now, you have to understand that every type of tyrant in the modern world has always referred to their base country as the homeland or the fatherland or the motherland. Homeland. That, to me, right there said, there's something wrong with it. And indeed, we've had nothing but problems. Citizens have had nothing but problems with Homeland Security ever since it was created. You know, going through all its different departments like the TSA and the Border Patrol. I mean, these, they're all part of Homeland Security. And they've taken other agencies and other departments and put them under Homeland Security, like, you know, the FBI. But they left alone some of the very agencies that we needed to try to get together. You know, like the NSA and NASA, you know, the National Security Agency and the CIA. I mean, think about this for a second. We have the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, already a secretive agency. Why did we need the NSA? That could be even more secretive. And then why did we need the Homeland Security when we already had Homeland Security agencies? And they tried to, well, you know, we got to put them all under one roof and blah, blah. No, it was bad opportunity that presented itself that big government officials decided to take advantage of. And now it is starting to come out that Chris Christie is kind of one of those Republicans that's a big government Republican. So he's saying, you know, the NSA, the National Security Agency, you know, they need to have these humongous server farms that are storing our information. Really? Is it really the average American citizen that they need to collect information on? Is that average American citizen really going to be safe? Or safer? I don't think so. Now, two sides of the surveillance, this is a hot air story, by the way. Two sides of the surveillance state coin. Now, understand that, again, whenever you have had a dictatorial type of government, it doesn't matter when it happened in human history. Whatever the technology of the day was, that is how they kept track of the citizens of their country. Hey, look, I know a lot of people saying, well, we need to know what these other people are trying to do to attack us. I agree. But do you label your own people as domestic terrorists? Do you label your military veterans who fight to protect the country and keep, you know, your government in place? Do you label them potential domestic terrorists? Do you label a housewife and a soccer mom a potential terrorist? So, or do you label a guy who lives in Colorado, who now is, you know, just trying to, you know, toke his way into heaven, by smoking his way into heaven, you know what I mean, do you all of a sudden start putting devices that track him without getting a warrant? Because, you know, well, hey, this guy, you know, he's buying and selling pot. He could be getting it from Mexico or something. You know, he could be a domestic terrorist. Where does it end? Anything that you or I do, I could be labeled a domestic terrorist because I'm speaking out against the bad stuff that our government does. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a file on me at the NSA and Homeland Security. Honestly, I'm not being facetious about that. Where does it end? You know, look, our founding fathers pretty much, they nailed it on the head. They said, look, those of you who are willing to give up a little bit of freedom for a little bit of security deserve neither freedom nor security, and indeed will have neither. Because you think you're going to be safe, but where's your freedom? If you're protecting, if you're saying that the NSA is there to protect your rights and your freedom, to protect and preserve the Constitution, then how do they do that by destroying your rights as protected by the Constitution? How does the NSA protect your rights by destroying and shredding the Constitution? Now you don't have any rights. Now you don't have any freedom. But you're also not necessarily any safer, because now you don't only have to worry about the terrorists, but you have to worry about your own government coming in and breaking down your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, which our government has done to people. So you have to ask, where does it stop? And now Chris Christie is like jumping on, well, you know, you can't enjoy your civil liberties if you're in a coffin. Well, you can't enjoy your civil liberties if your government takes them from you. You don't have them. The NSA and the Homeland Security are not for the Constitution. I'm going to just put it out there. When it comes to the American citizen, they are not on the side of the Constitution for the American citizen. Because if they were, they would see that having these server farms that keep all this kind of information on us, on each and every individual American citizen, is not keeping us safe. It's kind of like the TSA out there, you know, searching grandmas and little boys that are 6 years old and little girls that are five. You know, and well, we got to search them for, you know, potential weapons. And not once has the TSA ever prevented a hijacking from happening in this country. Not once. Not once. There's been no terrorists caught. There have been people that, oh yeah, there have been people, including government officials, who, you know, for whatever reason, have forgotten they had a firearm or a weapon on them when they approached the, you know, the TSA designated areas. And they're like, oh my God, I forgot I had it. I don't know about you, but I don't think, you know, I mean, we've even had U.S. congressmen who've been caught with this type of stuff. I don't think they're terrorists. Now, I don't think a nun is going to be it. Well, you know, you got to understand, Rod, these terrorists, they can dress up as nuns. Well, yeah, I guess they can, but have they? No, we haven't caught any that are trying to dress up as nuns anywhere on the planet. But yet we're supposed to give up our dignity and our rights as we go through an airport. Oh, yeah, just let them take a total naked screenshot of you. No, it's not going to end up online or anywhere else. And then what happens? Everybody finds out, you know, they have pictures of themselves online. You know, naked x-rays of them. Wait a minute. You just told me you weren't going to put this online. Well, sorry. Where does it end? Have we forgotten about that? You know, 9/11 scared the living daylights out of the American people. Rightfully so. We had a government that fell asleep, that failed to protect us, when all they had to do was connect the dots and talk to each other. Absolutely right. The department heads and departments and agencies in this government did not. They all felt that it was their territory and they did not communicate with each other. Bingo. They failed to connect the dots. Because if they did, and if they had, they would have prevented 9/11 from ever happening. But since they failed to connect the dots that were already there for them to connect, they decided that they needed to be able to, what? Take away some of our freedom. There was a bad opportunity there to grow government. And that's exactly what they did. And now we have Chris Christie, who's standing by the big government issue. Now, while Rand Paul was in Philly yesterday promising to filibuster any attempt to extend the Patriot Act, Christie was in New Hampshire, here in my state, demanding a clean extension, including an extension of the momentarily illegal Section 215 or 215 that House Republicans and Democrats have joined together in trying to limit. Now, Rand Paul and Chris Christie have tangled before over civil liberties and national security, although never face-to-face. Now, 2 summers ago, Christie flashed his hawkishness by calling the libertarianism a very dangerous idea in a post-9/11 world. Now, understand, I am not what somebody would call a true libertarian. I think these true libertarians, like the kind that we have here in New Hampshire, they're nutcases. Now, maybe libertarians in your area are a little bit different, but the ones here in New Hampshire, the majority of them, are nutcases. I'm going to lay that out there. So I do not include myself in with the Libertarian Party, although I do believe in liberty and in the Constitution. Evidently, it appears Chris Christie does not share my views. Do I share all of Rand Paul's? No, there are certain things, and like certain foreign policy issues, Rand Paul is a total nut. But when it comes to the domestic issues about preserving and protecting your liberty, you cannot preserve liberty by taking it from somebody. So the notion that Chris Christie says you can't enjoy your civil liberties if you're in a coffin is directly, diametrically opposed to what the founding fathers and how they would have reacted to this situation. It was the government's fault in the first place that they had the ability to and they did not connect the dots to prevent it. So therefore, having this type of overreach is not protecting us anymore when they already had the ability to do so. They just didn't do it. And so because they didn't do it and it scared the hell out of the American people, now they think, now we're going to just, be able to take this idea and run with it. Bad opportunity for bad opportunist. And look, I said this back then. We cannot give up our freedom for a little bit of security because we're not going to end up with it. We're just going to end up with a bunch of stuff around this country that is going to be attacking individuals who have nothing to do with any kind of criminality whatsoever. And we saw it first with the TSA. It was blatant, and the American people were demanding changes. No, look, you got to stop this. Change the TSA. Give it back to private, whatever. The American people were overwhelmingly for reforming the TSA before it was even a year old. Did we get that reform? Hell no, we did not. Why? Because we gave them the power in the first place to create it. And once you create something in this era, in this government, you don't get rid of it. This is my point. Bad opportunists seize the moment. And when they seize that moment, it's over for us. We don't get back to where we were. I mean, this is part of the reason why so many people are frustrated with government now over Obamacare, because they thought that they elected a bunch of Republicans who were going to try to get rid of, every once in a while they'll come up and they'll throw up a plan to try to get rid of Obamacare, but nobody, have you noticed? The Republican leadership really doesn't press the issue. Oh, yeah, we just voted to defund Obama. If they want to get rid of it, defund it. Don't fund it. We can't shut down the government. Shut down the government. It won't be funded then, will it? There is no backbone for it. Why? Because the government thinks, even on the Republican side, maybe it's not so bad if we do some tweaks to it. Because all we hear now is, you Republicans, you got to have an alternative idea for this then, don't you? You got to come up with ideas to fix it. No, they don't. But it's bad opportunity time. Once we get something, it is nearly impossible to get rid of it. And you people better wake up, because even people like Chris Christie is telling you, hey, you know, the Patriot Act, yeah, we're not going to get rid of it. We shouldn't get rid of it. In fact, we should double down on it and grow it. And all that's going to do is affect your civil liberties, and your Constitution is going to mean nothing. And once you lose it, you're not getting it back. I'm telling you straight up, folks. This is no joke. You lose the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything that it stands for, you are not getting it back. Not without some sort of bloodthirsty revolution. And if you have a revolution, by the time it's all over, you're still not going to get it back. You're going to get something totally different. And it isn't going to be what we once had. Look, because I know people. And you're not going to have the same nation. Because there are going to be states that, you know, hey, revolution, the Civil War is over. Now, we're not signing on to this. And the nation will no longer exist as we know it. That's just the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. It's because we've allowed bad opportunists to take advantage of us, and they're still doing it. And they're still trying to do it. And they're able to get away with it because we let them get away with it. And then what, we fall for their tricks. It's kind of like a used car salesman, like that guy who was trying to sell me that Impala by saying that everything was original when I knew for a fact that it wasn't original. Look, we knew the TSA was not going to be a good idea. But, you know, we kind of said, well, maybe it'll be a good idea if they just do it right. But we knew, as the American people knew, it was not going to be a good idea. Just like we knew that Obamacare was not going to be a good idea. But did we put people in place to stop Obamacare? No, we did not. And then we got Obamacare. And then we're like, oh my God, we got Obamacare, but they need to get rid of it. So we thought we'd vote people in who were going to get rid of it. And you know what? They didn't really want to get rid of it. It was too late. We had allowed them to give it to us. Plain and simple. Look, you know, I hate to say it, but you really get the government you deserve. You get the government that you elect. We deserve this government. This is the government that we elected. We deserve all these policies that, in departments and agencies that they're creating and putting against us and taking away our constitutional rights. Why? Because we voted and elected them into office. It's our own fault, and we're the only ones who can fix it. And we better start fixing it before it gets too far, before it gets to the point of no return, or before we get to a point where we get the ultimate bad opportunist. And you know where that leads. Yeah, you know, some people might call him the Antichrist, but I just say, no, it's just another dictator. Somebody who views themselves as being a potentate or a Caesar or a king or an emperor. Don't doubt me, folks. The United States is not immune to that kind of stuff. You just select the wrong person at the wrong time, and they, being a good, bad opportunist, are going to take advantage, and then it's going to be too late. Don't doubt me.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Story. Six Chinese nationals charged with stealing U.S. trade secrets. More bad opportunists, folks. Three Chinese nationals who earned advanced degrees from the University of Southern California and three others have been charged with stealing wireless technology from a pair of U.S. companies. Now, in other words, they conspired to steal technology from Skyworks Solutions Incorporated and Avago Technology soon after graduating in 2006. A 32-page indictment charging the six with economic espionage and trade secret theft was unsealed after Hao Zhang was arrested Saturday at the Los Angeles International Airport after arriving from China to attend a scientific conference. The five others who are being charged are believed to be still in China. And now once that they see that their buddy, Hao Zhang, is being detained, they ain't coming here. And you better believe that if they're found in China, that the Chinese government are not going to extradite them to the United States. Absolutely not. Well, hey, the Chinese government is also a bad opportunist. I don't know how many times that we have traced hacks and cyber attacks in this country to China, and specifically to the Chinese Red Army. You know, they have a cyber division that all they do is sit in a room all day long for 8, 10, 12 hours a day and just try to hack into other systems, be they government systems or private corporation systems across the globe daily. And we're finding out that they're succeeding far more than we thought. Now, these people are not idiots. These are some of the brightest people that China has to offer as far as computer coding is concerned. And they're part of China's army. You know, they're doing the good work for the Chinese government. And a lot of times, they are so good that a lot of times we don't even know that they've broken in to a system. And then all of a sudden somebody one day just like, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. And they stumble upon it and they find it and they try to figure out, well, how long have they been doing this? And sometimes we have found out they have been in certain systems, for years. You know, bad opportunists come from all over the place. It's not just here in the United States. Now, federal officials say foreign government theft of U.S. technology is one of the biggest threats to the country's economy and national security. They are particularly concerned with China. Newsmax continues, State Department spokesman Jeff Rathke said Tuesday, the U.S. government takes economic espionage very seriously. Well, I hope so, because you seem to be taking, the average everyday American citizen who is no threat to their own country seriously. I mean, really? Why aren't they keeping... Why do they not turn these huge data server farms that they are building and turn them on collecting data from those who really are the enemy? Now, I'm not saying that everybody within the United States and every citizen is obviously not an innocent bystander. But the overwhelming vast majority of American citizens are not plotting against the United States in any shape or form. And we are wasting valuable time, money, and equipment by tracking everyday citizens when we see story after story coming out about how external forces are attacking the internal intricacies of the United States, be it private U.S. companies, or it be the power or infrastructure grid. I mean, come on. We're going to be focused on what? We're going to be focused on having these data farms collect our phone metadata? Yeah, yeah, we don't know exactly what you're talking about, but, you know, we're just, you know, unless we go actually go in and look. Now, see, this is the other thing. No, they don't know exactly what it is that you're doing or talking about, unless, you know, the point of collecting the metadata is that it can flag you. And if you say the wrong word in the wrong way at the wrong time, you're going to be flagged. And what happens? They swoop in. They open the file, and then they know all about you. Because it's all there. But at the same time, while they're investigating you, simply because you said the wrong word, but you had no intent of harming your own country or your neighbor, there people like Hao Zhang are getting away with actually doing damage to the United States. All of that technology should be turned towards those bad opportunists who really are out there trying to harm the United States of America. But instead, we got a bunch of people here in this country that we call government officials that think, oh yeah, the American people are bad. Yeah, this person, he loves the Constitution. Something wrong with him. Got to keep an eye on him. Anytime he says anything that we don't like the word Constitution, we're going to look at what he's talking about, saying who he's see what he's saying, see who he's hanging out with, see where he goes on a daily basis. We're going to track him and tail him. And if he even so much as jaywalks, we're going to bust him. Meanwhile, there are true terrorists from overseas who are doing dry runs with box cutters and fingernail clippers on aircraft to see if they can actually break through security. And sometimes they do. And then we run around and we say, hey, you know, those people down in Texas when they had the Islamic cartoon contest. Oh, yeah, you know, they're all the bad people who are participating in running the contest, not the two jerks who should have been tailed and tagged a long time ago, who went down there to try to shoot up the place. Oh, no, 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 no. And somehow it's the American citizen who's expressing and utilizing their First Amendment rights for freedom of expression. They're at fault because two other idiots couldn't control their tempers. And so now there's talk about, well, maybe we should curtail our First Amendment rights. Really? So now we have bad opportunists trying to take advantage to get our Constitution changed. So it will allow, in certain circumstances, censorship. And I'm amazed and surprised at the number of people who support that notion. Hello? So we have foreign nationals that come into our country, try to steal our secrets, try to shoot us up, try to blow us up, and somehow it is the American citizen's fault. And because it's the American citizen's fault, it dictates that we have government agencies focus on the American citizen. And you want to tell me that Chris Christie's okay? Yeah, he's right. That you can't enjoy your civil liberties if you're in a coffin. Well, we can't enjoy our civil liberties, Governor Christie, if you take them away. So what difference does it make?
Well, Rod, at least you'll be alive.
Really? We'll be breathing, but we won't be alive. I don't, you know, the United States has so many enemies abroad, and those enemies abroad have agents who've infiltrated this country simply because, one, we let too many people who should not be here into the country, and two, even those that we don't let in, they still end up getting in because we don't service and close our borders properly.
Right. You just cannot. You cannot keep them from getting in. We can do a lot better job than we have been doing. Is it going to be 100%? No, nothing is. But is it plausible to say that since you cannot do something 100% that we shouldn't try and we should do nothing at all? That makes no sense. You should try. Otherwise, you know, why make things difficult for people to do in any area? You know, hey, speaking of cyber attacks, you know, well, hey, you know, we have anti-cyber attack and anti-phishing and all that kind of software, right? Well, that doesn't stop all your data from being stolen 100%, does it? No. So why do we have it at all then? Well, because, Rod, we want to try to make it as difficult as possible, and hopefully while somebody who really knows what they're doing, while they're trying to take it, we can see it and stop it. Oh, so that's okay for your computer, but not our border. So we can't work to try to make it as difficult as possible for people to illegally enter the country, and so that we might be able to detect when they are trying, so we have an opportunity to stop them. Hello? What's the difference? There is no difference. It's the same damn thing. Either you're going to try or you're not. And you know, as Yoda said, do or do not. There is no try. Plain and simple, you got to do it. And we don't have people that are willing to do it because they're too much of a bad opportunist, because they see an opportunity to line their own pockets with cash or power or both. By doing the opposite. Instead of focusing on the external threats, they're going to focus on the supposed, imaginary, internal threats. From thehill.com. Sanders, that means Bernie Sanders, Sanders calls Clinton's wealth a problem. Now, I don't know what the hell is wrong with Vermonters. And what this guy is like, I believe he's in his late 70s, right? He's like 76 or 78 or something like that. Well, why they elect this jackass, quite frankly. I mean, the guy is such a big hypocrite. He on one end, he talks about how bad, you know, wealth is and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, well, what's he making every year? And he lives in Vermont. Not a very expensive state. Presidential contender Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the communist from Vermont, said that Hillary Clinton's wealth is a problem. After reports surfaced that she and former President Bill Clinton, her husband still, have made roughly $30 million since 2014. It's a problem, Sanders said in a response to a question from CNN's Wolf Blitzer on whether the amount of money was problematic. But a more serious problem is, what do we do about the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality in America today? Well, I don't know. Do we put somebody like Hillary in charge? They made $30 million. In a year. And they don't own a business. Think about that. I mean, it's one thing if you have a business and you produce a product or service that a lot of people are willing to pay you for. See, that's the other thing. You know, you got a business and you make $30 million, you probably sold, you know, a lot more than $30 million worth of product or goods and services, and you weren't forcing anybody to buy it. They just willingly gave you their money, their hard-earned money, because you had something that they really wanted and felt they couldn't live without. The Clintons have no such business. They have no product or service other than giving speeches. So in other words, these two former politicos who are bad opportunists
made over $30 million in a year with no business. They produced nothing that contributed back to the economy. Nothing. They received that $30 million via giving speeches and through donations. And yet they're, you know, she claims that she wants to be a champion for the American people, the middle class. They haven't been middle class in about 30 years. I guess a middle class person, you know, they fly first class all the time. They have Secret Service protection. You know, middle class, they've lived in the White House. They have, you know, big homes in New York and in Washington, D.C. They took vacations on Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, that's the average American. They make $30 million in a year, and the average American doesn't even come close to making $30 million in a lifetime. But yeah. They know exactly what it's like to be a middle-class average American. Now, the Vermont senator has focused on combating income inequality during his time during the Senate, which is a bunch of BS. What do you mean battling income inequality? You can't have income equality unless you believe that everybody should earn the same thing, i.e. you're a Marxist or communist. Hello? This whole, well, you know, he's an independent. No, he's not an independent. He's a communist. And he's a bad opportunist. And he will take advantage of every opportunity that turns things in his favor. Even if it means running over Hillary and Bill with an SUV. Over and over and over again. Politically speaking, of course, I don't believe he would really do that in real life. You gotta say that or else somebody's gonna accuse you of, you know, being a whatever monger. It's a metaphor. You gotta say that too, because there's some people, you know, the people and government officials that live in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, they're gonna say, hey, Rod just said that Bernie Sanders is gonna run over the Clintons with his SUV. I don't even know if Bernie Sanders actually owns an SUV. I don't particularly care if he does or doesn't. Somebody's going to say, you know, as this pro, I hate to sound like I'm trying to be self-preservationist here, but in this day and age, and as this program gets more and more attention, unfortunately, I get more and more attention. I really have to make sure that I'm pretty damn clear about what I'm saying. Because otherwise somebody's going to, I don't know, you know, they're going to turn the NSA and Homeland Security cameras and listening devices in on me. And before I know it, I'm going to have, you know, people with dark glasses and suits knocking on my door, asking me all kinds of questions. So, you know, the whole thing about Bernie Sanders running over the Clintons with an SUV is a metaphor. You know, kind of like a metaphor. Yeah, throwing them under the bus. Do we really mean that you're trying to literally throw somebody under a running bus? No, it's a metaphor. Folks, I mean, seriously. And do you realize how far we have devolved, that people have to actually say that type of thing in order to protect themselves? I thought this was the United States of America, where we had freedom of expression. Really? And you, and there are some people that want to tell me that, well, you know, we got to do this and do this and do this. Really? So that every time you speak, you have to do so with such clarity and hope that nobody misconstrues what you say, so that a government official ends up knocking on your door, possibly hauling you off. That's what you really want. Sanders suggested that legislation he introduced Tuesday that would make college free was crucial. Yeah, why do we need to make college free? So in other words, all those wonderful professors like Elizabeth Warren can make $500,000 a year, while the taxpayer foots the tuition bill to the tune of $250,000 for a 4-year degree. Are you insane, Mr. Sanders? Well, probably yes.
Yeah, I also find it kind of amazing that, you know, Ronald Reagan, yeah, they said I was too old. And now we've got, you know, we've got what, a dozen or so people in Congress that are as old or older than Reagan was. And they're fine. You know, and quite a few of them are Democrats, and they're fine. You know, they got all their faculties. But Ronald Reagan, he was just too old. But now these people are at that age or older, and they're fine. And most of them are liberal or rhinos. How is that possible? Oh, because they're liberals or rhinos. That's why it's possible, and that's why it's okay. You know, they can be 80 years old. Look, how old is Hillary going to be if she's elected? What, 72 to start? Weren't they saying that McCain might be too old? And he was, what, 72, 74? I mean, hello? It's okay for a Democrat. And Sanders is, what, 76, 78? But he's, you know, he's got all his faculties, right? We don't have to worry about Sanders. Oh, no, no. Bernie's okay. Bernie's a good dude. Bernie's a good communist. Nothing wrong with Bernie. Folks, look, you have just got to pay attention. In order to protect yourself and your family, you've got to pay attention to who's really a bad opportunist. They're all around you. I hate to say it, but they are. From the used car salesman down the street, or downtown, to your local politician, to your national politician like Bernie Sanders or Barack Obama. There are bad opportunists everywhere. And it is your job, along with mine, as voters and citizens of this country, to weed them out and not give them what they're looking for, which is money and power. Power and money. Don't give in to their whims. Don't give in to their angers. Don't give in to their scare tactics. Don't do it. You will regret it. Look, we already have a history of regret, of modern regret. We regret electing Obama. We regret getting Obamacare. We regret a bunch of stuff on a national scale. Why do we keep voting the same people who give us nothing but regret? Do not allow people like Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton to ever get close to being elected again. That's all I'm asking, folks. That's all it takes, is just take your vote and make it count. And don't be afraid to vote your conscience, because I know you would not vote for a bad opportunist if you actually realized that they were a bad opportunist. Don't fall for their scams and their schemes. We put those people behind bars, believe it or not. I'm Rod Echols. I'm out of time. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, I'm Rod Echols. I'm out.